Let's lift up our hands and let's appreciate the King of Kings. Let's appreciate the Lord of Lords. The I am that I am, the God who was and who is and who is to come. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Thank you because you are God. In you we live. In you we move. In you we have our being. Thank you, Lord, for this very first midweek service in the month of July. First midweek service in the seventh month of the year. First service in the third, first midweek service in the first service in the third quarter of the year. And the first service also in the second half of the year. Be glorified, be honored, and be adored. We ask that not one person will leave here the same. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Wave your hands and give the Lord the praise. Honor him, adore him, magnify him. In him we live and move and have our being. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Will you help me shake the hands of seven people? This is the seventh month. Welcome them to the seventh month of the year. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. You are welcome. Hallelujah. Go on ahead and welcome seven other people. Go on ahead, welcome them to the third quarter of the year. Welcome 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 to the third quarter of the year. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And finally, walk to seven other people and welcome them to the second half of the year. Second half of the year, yes. The year is halfway right now. The first service in the second half of the year. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. We give you the worship, supremacy, dominion, rule, and sovereignty. Welcome, Father. We thank you, Father. We give you the praise and the honor. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. Hallelujah. And be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'd like to welcome you again to the first, very first service of the seventh month. The very first service of the third quarter and the very first service of the second half of the year, which is also the same as the communion of escape and the oil of preservation. And this is our month of taking charge everywhere by the force of prayer. It's literally dominion through prayer. Hallelujah. That is confirmed. Taking charge everywhere by the force of prayer. And nothing exemplifies that like the life of Jacob in the book of Genesis chapter 32 and in verse 24 and in all the way to verse 28. And Jacob was left alone, and they wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." At the place of prayer, Jacob took charge. He assumed dominion. I'd like to encourage you throughout the month of July, be intense in the service, in the word, and also at the place of prayer, because we are going to be having a lot of practical praying, just like we had practical worship and praise in the month of our praise and worship. Hallelujah. Tonight, we are looking at the subject of preservation through prayer. Preservation through prayer. And our objective is understanding how prayer preserves. Understanding how prayer preserves. In 1 Kings chapter 17 and in verse 1, we look at the life of Elijah. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain this year, except or according to my word." But according to my word. Elijah was a man of prayer that could not be killed by the evil King Ahab with the evil Queen Jezebel because of his authority and audacity at the place of prayer. Elijah was a man that escaped death to the point where he went to heaven bodily. If there was ever a man who prayed, the Bible said in James chapter 5 and in verse 17, it said Elijah or Elias was a man of like passion as we are, and he prayed. If there is anything that was that Elijah was known for, it was his intensity at the place of prayer and brutality in the realm of the spirit. That was Elijah. He prayed. He couldn't be destroyed. You see another example in the life of Daniel. Daniel was a man whose life was marked with prayer. He was the man who will pray for 21 days with no pleasant meal entering his mouth. He was the one who prayed to dismantle the captivity of Judah in Babylon after 70 years. In Daniel chapter 9 and in verse 1 and in verse 2, the Bible talked about how in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, he said in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he will accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And then he said in verse 3, I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. That was the Daniel who prayed. And Daniel, being a preeminent man of prayer, was not destroyable by the threat of the king. In Daniel chapter 6 and in verse 10, when the decree was sealed that nobody should pray, Daniel went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. In verse 20, we saw how the king came with a lamentable voice later. The Bible says, when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And then Daniel said, O king, long live forever. Daniel, the man of prayer, was not destroyable by the den of lions. You look at the New Testament, you look at the life of someone like Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle's life was marked with prayer. In Philippians, in Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 18, the Bible says concerning Paul, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. He prayed always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. That was Paul the Apostle. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul said, pray without ceasing. That was Paul the Apostle. He was the man who prayed without ceasing. And what kind of man was he? He lived. He couldn't be finished. The devil couldn't finish him. He passed through all manner of things. We can't go through all of that now. But we know that Paul died as Paul the aged. In Philemon chapter 1 and in verse 9, he died as Paul the aged. Christian would like to ask and answer right now is, how does prayer bring about preservation? How does prayer preserve? Number one, prayer positions the saint in the presence of God. And the presence of God is a preservative of life and destiny. Prayer positions the child of God in the presence of God. And the presence of God is a preservative of life and destiny. In 1 Kings chapter 17 and in verse 1, the Bible said concerning Elijah, who was the man of prayer. He said, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain this year, but according to my word. There shall not be rain nor dew this year, but according to my word. Prayer positions a man in the presence of God. Elijah, the man of prayer, remained in the presence of God. And it is not possible to be finished by the devil while you are in the presence of God. In Psalm 91 and in verse 1 all the way to verse 2, it said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. He dwells in the secret place of the Most High, and he abides under the shadow of the Shaddai." Prayer positions a man in God's presence, and God's presence is a preservative of life and destiny. You know, of course, Psalm 24, Psalm 23, verse 4, and in verse 5, you say, "Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." That is the first thing that prayer does. It positions you. The man of prayer is the man that stands by the God of the whole earth. The woman of prayer is the woman that stands in the presence of the God of the whole earth. And in that presence, you are not wastable. Witches can't locate you in God's presence. Wizards can't locate you. Only a madman will pursue a child into the presence of his father. And when that madman reaches the presence of the father of the child, the madman will know that there is madness that is bigger than madness. That is when the father will show the madman that there are people who are mad, but they have not taken off their clothes. Hey! That is when that madman will know that madness can be higher than madness. Do you understand? No matter how desperate the devil is, he is not permitted to pursue you into the presence of your father, into the presence of your God, into the presence of your maker. Hallelujah. Please take your seat. That is why it is very, very critical and very, very important to do all you can do to ensure that you are positioned in the presence of your maker. That's number one. Number two, prayer establishes the glory of God on the life of the saint, and the glory of God is a divine defense. Prayer establishes the glory of God on the life of the saint, and the glory of God is a divine defense. The Bible said concerning Jesus in Luke chapter 9 and in verse 29, he said, "And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening." Now look at verse 28 before we go there. The Bible said, "And it came to pass about an 8 days after this saying, he took Peter and John and James." Can you back up to verse 27? "But I tell you the truth, there have been some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." All right. "And then he moved, and it came to pass about an 8 days after these things, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering." That was a glory explosion that took place. The kind of thing that happened to Moses as he stayed in the presence of the Lord and his face shone. The Bible says Moses' face shone until the children of Israel could not straightforwardly behold his face. His face shone. That was the kind of thing that has happened to the master right here. And the glory exploded. Now, what is the implication of the glory? Yes, "And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses," that is Exodus 34 verse 35, "that the skin of Moses shone, and Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him." That was Moses in the presence of God, communicating with God, speaking to God, listening to God, which is what prayer is all about. Communicating with God. He did that until glory exploded on his face. The Bible said in the book of Isaiah chapter 4 verse 5, that upon all the glory is a defense. He said, "And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and a smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense." The glory of God defends the saints against arrows of wickedness. It defends the saints against strange attacks of diseases. The glory. No wonder in Deuteronomy chapter 34 and in verse 7, when Moses was 120 years old, his life and body was so saturated with the glory that his eye was not dim and his natural force was not abated. This month, I announced to someone, in this month of prayer, the glory of God will so saturate your life, and your life will be so defended that arrows of disease and destruction will never find their way into your life. They will arrive or they return back to hell. They will be resent back. They will backfire on the spot. You believe that? Shout the loudest, amen. You believe that? Lift your hands and shout glory. Shout the loudest, glory. So shall it be. Number three, prayer brings sensitivity, direction, and guidance to the life of the saint, and that averts destruction. Prayer brings sensitivity, direction, and guidance into the life of the saint, and that averts destruction. And this is especially the prayer of inquiry. Mashatakalaya. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 10 to verse 13. 1 Samuel 23, verse 10. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into his hand, into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver you. David needed no advice anymore. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbear to go forth. Hallelujah. He ran. He got direction. And the direction averted destruction. Prayer, especially the prayer of inquiry, like we see in Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 16. It says, stand in the ways and see, ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. The prayer of inquiry. Lord, is this person a good person to walk with? Is this the right business? Is this journey a good journey? The prayer of inquiry. Also, prayer with fasting. These prayers bring direction. In Isaiah chapter 58 and in verse 8, after you have fasted in verse 6, it said, then shall your light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody say the Lord must say amen. I announce to someone here today, in the name of Jesus, you will not miss direction. You will not end in destruction. You will not end in disaster. You will not end in calamity. You will not end as a victim. You will not end as casualty. In the name of Jesus. Prayer brings sensitivity. You are sharpened. You know how you begin to have signals, perception. You lose your peace when you are not meant to go. You receive your peace when you are meant to move, if you are a man of prayer. But if you are not prayerful, you are lukewarm and just ordinary. You see danger, you walk in it without knowing. And you see calamity, you walk into it without knowing. Prayer brings sensitivity, direction, and guidance to the life of the saint, and that averts destruction. Number four, prayer, especially prayer in the spirit, helps the saint to tackle unknown and unseen agenda of the enemy. Prayer, especially prayer in the spirit, helps the saint to tackle unknown and unseen agenda of the enemy, unseen plans of the enemy, unseen plots of the enemy. In Romans chapter 8 and in verse 26, the Bible said, likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for. We don't know what to pray about. But the Spirit helps, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So two things are here. First of all, we don't know the danger to pray against. We don't know the enemy plan to tackle. We don't know where the enemy is coming from. We don't know the next thing the devil is planning. But at the place of prayer, we can knock them off. At the place of prayer, we can tackle them. Especially as we pray in the Spirit. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying here today? You can only pray about something you know about. But you cannot pray about what you don't know about. It is only the Holy Spirit that can pray about what you don't know about. It is only in the language you don't understand that you can pray about things you don't yet understand. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? It is in the language. You know, I said some time ago that when you are confronted with situations you don't understand, pray in the language that you don't understand. Hallelujah. It is the same. It is the same. The situations you don't know, that you don't have an idea about, that are in the realm of the Spirit, it is only the Spirit that can tackle them. Give the Lord the praise. Somebody take your seat. Take your seat. That is why Smith Wiggins was saying praying in tongues is a luxury. It's a spiritual luxury. It's a luxurious life. Because it puts you on top of the devil, ahead of the devil. It makes you to preempt the devil. Hallelujah. It puts you ahead of the devil. You are miles ahead of the devil. You are miles ahead of the devil. He's beginning to wonder, who is telling this man my plan? Who is telling, how are they knowing what I'm about to do? Hallelujah. So the first thing is, praying in the Spirit helps you to tackle enemy plans that you don't even know about. And secondly, praying in the Spirit from that passage helps us to enforce the will of God. You see, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So what's the meaning of that? Enforcing the will of God is deleting the agenda of the devil. Every time we enforce the will of God, we are knocking out the agenda of hell. We are canceling the will of the devil. That is why praying in the Spirit is an asset. And it's very, very important that you do all you can. Pray in the Spirit. Teach your children to pray in the Spirit. Let your wife pray in the Spirit. Let the church pray in the Spirit. And in this month of prayer, we are going to do a lot of spiritual irrigation. Spiritual irrigation per service. 20-30 minutes of continuous aggressive spiritual irrigation. Flowing in the Spirit to pray about things we know nothing about, and also to enforce the will of God and knock out the agenda of the devil. And I stand here to announce in the name of Jesus that everything that is the agenda of the devil concerning your life, concerning my life, concerning our lives, in this month of prayer, this seventh month, it shall be knocked out, a knockout blow in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody getting anything here, say a loud amen. And of course, you know that the realm of the Spirit is the realm of mysteries. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2. It said that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Hallelujah. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say the loudest amen. Number 5. Prayer. Especially with, how does prayer preserve us? Number 5, prayer, especially with fasting, increases levels of command and authority in the spirit realm. Increases levels of command, levels of authority. Prayer, especially with fasting, it shifts your level of command. It shifts your level of authority in the realm of the Spirit. One day, the disciples could not cast out a devil.
And Jesus said to them in Matthew 17 and verse 21. They asked him, they say, Master, how come we could not cast out this devil? He said,
because of your unbelief.
How be it? However, this type goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. They don't shift, they don't move, except you pray and except you fast. Hallelujah. There are kinds. You just shift in command. He said, if you will pray and you will fast, your command level will shift. Your authority level will shift. And that means you are less vulnerable to the attacks of the devil. You are less vulnerable to defeat by the devil. You are less vulnerable to being collapsed by the devil. Hallelujah. Somebody say louder, amen. The kind of devil they used to send to you before, they can't send such devils because they will go back to hell and lose their wing. They will go back and lose their assignment. So they need to send bigger devils. And yet the bigger devils will come and meet bigger authority and meet bigger mantle and meet bigger command realm. Somebody shout hallelujah. I announced to someone here today before this month is over. And now we're about to step into the mediate fast next week for 7 days. Some will do desperate 3 days fasting without food. Some will do other desperate fastings. Whatever level of fast you can do, go ahead and do. But I believe by the time this mid-year fast is over, your level of command is shifting. Your level of authority is shifting. Your level of control is shifting. Your level of impact is shifting. You believe it, say the loudest, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Prayer, especially with fasting, increases levels of command and authority in the spirit realm. In Isaiah chapter 58 and in verse 6, he says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free. And then you break every yoke. That is the kind of fast I have chosen. I have chosen that kind of fast. You undo heavy burdens. You let the oppressed to go free. That is, your power realm increases. Your authority increases. Somebody say aloud, amen. Number six. How does prayer preserve us? Number six. Prayer positions the saint in the presence of God. And the presence of God equals the company of angels. If I say for that, I made the statement so long, but I'm going to say it. Prayer positions the saint in the presence of God, and the presence of God is the company of angels relevant for the preservation of the saint. Do you see the equation? Prayer keeps you in God's presence. The presence of God keeps you in the company of angels. The angelic company is the company of preservation. We just saw Elijah in 1 Kings 17:1, before God, whom I stand. That was a man establishing his stand before God at the place of prayer. And what is the presence of God all about? Isaiah 63 verse 9. It shows us that angels, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them, rescued them, delivered them. In his love and his pity, he redeemed them, he rescued them, and he bare them, and carried them all the days of old. You are positioned in his presence by prayer, and by that prayer and his presence gives you access to the angels of his presence, and the angels of his presence are responsible for your rescue from danger, for your rescue from disaster, for your rescue from calamity. Psalm 34 and in verse 7, he said, the angel of the Lord encamped around about them that fear him, and deliver them. He shall give his angels charge over you. Psalm 91. Believe verse 7 there about. He shall give his angels charge over you. They shall bear you up in their hands, in case you dash your foot. 11. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, lest thou dash your foot against a stone. That's the ministry of angels happening from the place of prayer. If you see prayer people, they move with angels all the time. Elijah, angels. Daniel, angels. Jesus, angels. Paul the apostle, he said, the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, stood by me last night and said, there shall be no loss of one man's hair. The ministry of angels. I prophesy in this month of prayer, there shall be the escalation of the ministry of angels. There shall be the multiplication of the ministry of angels. There shall be the explosion of the ministry of angels. You believe it, say the loudest amen. So shall it be. Hallelujah. Prayer positions descent in the presence of God. The presence of God is the company of angels, relevant for the preservation of the saint. I think it is Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 14 thereabout. He said, 13:14. He said, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them? That's angels. Are all these angels not ministering spirits sent to serve? Sent to defend, sent to run the errands of those who shall be heirs of salvation. That is, your life of prayer places you in the crowd and the company of angels. You sent me, Dr. Miss Anencha sent me a text message. Well, I think it was a message somebody sent to you who said she or he visited the hotel that we stayed in Gombe, and the whole atmosphere was charged with divine presence. She just stepped in there and saw the climate of angels, the presence of God.
After we had left,
yes.
Any time she steps into the hotel, the atmosphere was full of the presence, and she was there for a couple of days after we left
after
that hotel.
After we had already left?
Yes, sir.
Oh no, the fire devoured before them.
And she was there before we came, so she knew the difference in the atmosphere.
In the climate. A fire devoured before them, and behind them a flame burned. So we were there, and after we had left, and somebody came, the person was still experiencing what was left behind. Hallelujah! Somebody say louder, amen. I don't know if anybody beside myself is excited at this ministration here tonight, but I'd like you to eat this word. I'd like you to dive into the place of prayer this month, and something is going to explode in your life. Shout the loudest, amen. Hallelujah. Finally, prayer connects the saint with the anointing. And the anointing is responsible for destroying yokes and lifting burdens. Prayer connects the saint with the anointing. And the anointing is responsible for destroying yokes and lifting burdens. The yoke of premature death, the yoke of strange disease. In Zechariah chapter 4 and in verse 12 to verse 14, the Bible told us of two, and I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest not thou not what this be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he said, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. They are the two anointed ones that stand. These stand by the Lord of the whole earth. These stand by the Lord of the whole earth. These stand with the Lord of the whole earth. They are anointed ones and they stand. You cannot stand with God at a place of prayer and be lacking in the oil. No, 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 no. You can never lack the oil on your head. It's not possible. They stand by the Lord of the whole earth. They stand with the Lord. And they became the anointed ones. In Matthew chapter 26 and in verse 36, he went to the place called Gethsemane. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Gethsemane was a place where he went to pray. And Gethsemane actually means the pressing, the press of oil. The place where the oil is pressed. So he went to the press of oil. If you want to press oil, stand in the place of prayer. If you want to press out oil, stand in the place of prayer. You want to press out oil, stand in the place of prayer. And when oil comes, what happens? Isaiah 10:27. In that day, the burden shall be lifted from off your shoulder and the yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Prayer makes you stand in the place of oil, and the oil destroys the yokes and lifts up the burdens. What have we said so far? That first, prayer positions descent in the presence of God. And the presence of God is a preservative of life and destiny. Second, that prayer establishes the glory of God on the life of the saint. And the glory of God is a divine defense. Three, prayer brings sensitivity, brings direction, brings guidance to the life of the saint. And that averts destruction, especially the prayer of inquiry and also prayer with fasting. Four, that prayer, especially prayer in the spirit, helps the saint to unknown and unseen agenda of the enemy. We tackle it ahead of time. Agenda of the enemy. Five, prayer, especially with fasting, increases levels of command and authority in the realm of the spirit. Your level of command shifts and you are not vulnerable to the devil. Number six, prayer positions the saint in the presence of God, and the presence of God is the company of angels, relevant for the preservation of the saint. And number seven, prayer connects the saint with the anointing. And the anointing is responsible for destroying yokes and lifting burdens. I have two counsels tonight. Number one, counsel. Pray passionately, fervently, and ceaselessly. Pray passionately, fervently, ceaselessly. James chapter 5 verse 17, he said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Pray passionately, fervently, ceaselessly. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Number two, pray uprightly. Uprightly, righteously. Pray uprightly and righteously. The effectual fervent prayer, it didn't say of man, it's of a righteous man, availeth much. Pray like that. Beloved, it is the month of prayer. Apart from being in the midday 7 days fast that is starting next week Monday, the 7th. Also, your personal prayer altar, make sure it comes alive. And also, we have a 24-hour prayer watch that is going on right now, watching for the nation. Nehemiah chapter 4 and in verse 9. We looked at it from verse 8. He said, start from verse 7. He said, but it came to pass that when Sambalat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. And they conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem, fight against the church, to hinder the work of God. He said, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. We have a 24-hour prayer watch. Rescue, restore, revive the nation prayer watch. Operation Rescue, Restore, Revive the nation's prayer watch. On just one day of the week, 168 hours in the week, We have 168 different groups watching per hour. Ensure you participate in one. If you pray this Monday, the next time you are to be part of that watch is next Monday. And we're going to do it until answers are delivered. It's a new day. Tonight, we are going in spiritual irrigation. 20 to 30 minutes. And then we go into the communion. And then we go into the anointing service. And we are done. Hallelujah. Stand up on your feet and begin to appreciate the King of Kings. Honor God. Appreciate Him. Worship Him. Adore Him. Father, we give You the praise. We give You the honor. We give You the adoration. We give You the worship. Ancient of Days, Lily of the Valley, Mashakeko Barada Hasari, blessed be Your name, honor to Your name, in Jesus' name. The Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so, we are going to pray at this moment. If there is iniquity in your heart, God will not hear you. So I need you to pray this prayer with me. I need you to place your hand on your chest, anywhere you are, in need of forgiveness of sins, in need of surrender to Jesus. Pray after me and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of Your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow You, Lord, and no turning back. From today I go forward ever and backward never. The grace to live for You, I receive it. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Everyone who prayed that prayer around the world, lift up your hands. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of the enemy broken. Fresh grace to live for God. Fresh grace to do His will be released upon you right now. In Jesus' precious name. You pray that prayer. Pick your Bibles. Pick your bags. At the count of 10, and quickly come forward here while the music is on. 1.
Give Him your life.
2.
Give Him your life. Give Him
3.
Your life. He's waiting for
4.
Give Him your 5. Life. Give Him your
6.
Life. Give Him your
7.
Life. He's waiting. Why don't you
8.
Give Him your life?
Pray that prayer, you meant it. Be upstanding. Come forward. While they come forward, everyone also among them, everyone seated or standing right now, you want an addiction broken, smoking, drinking, lying, cheating, womanizing, masturbation, gambling, fraud, any form of lifestyle you know God is not happy with, and you want God to be happy with you, pick your Bibles, pick your bags, and join us forward. Give Him your life.
Give Him,
give Him
your life.
Oh, give Him your life. He's waiting for you. Give Him your life. Give Him your life. Give Him your life. He's waiting for you. Give Him your life.
him your love. Give him your love. He's waiting for you. Give him your love. Give him your love. Give him your love. He's waiting for you. Give him your love. Give him, give him, give him your love. Give him your love. He's waiting for you.
Give him your love.
Hallelujah. Father, thank you for the people I ask that you bless them, cause your face to shine upon them. In Jesus' precious name, I ask that the hold of the enemy be broken of your life. Grace to live for God is released upon you. In Jesus' precious name.